Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their July 17th meeting, the Kingston Police Service Board received a progress update on their 2023-26 strategic plan. According to Chief Scott Frazier, who presented the update, while no major milestones have been completed yet, progress is unfolding on every front.
We had a lofty goal that we wanted the organization to go, and we are going the right direction.
These lofty goals include a 10% drop in overall crime, particularly in the downtown core, ensuring the people of Kingston, including marginalized and or disadvantaged persons, feel safer and more satisfied with the Kingston Police, improving member job satisfaction, improving the weighted clearance rate, a measure of how well police solve crimes, to 45%, and faster, more frequent transfers of non-criminal, low-risk cases. Chief Frazier shared several key highlights from the report. These included a dramatic decrease in prison drone drops due to a new task force and partnership with City Hall, and the successful hosting of a province-wide human trafficking conference in Kingston. Rotary Club volunteers teamed up with detectives to offer fraud prevention workshops to vulnerable residents. The rollout of data analytics also saw a new crime analyst producing heat maps and crime visuals, now displayed at headquarters to enhance staff and public awareness. The pieces which received the most attention were community engagement initiatives and partnerships. Collaboration with the Integrated Care Hub, shelters, bylaw, and addiction and mental health services have been a major focus.
Our community engagement, I think, and like last month when we went to the Care Hub, I think for us, that I think is something that we're really seeing a positive benefit. We understand there's a lot of issues with it, but the partnership that we've kind of reinvigorated with the staff, and it's working out really well. Our frontline patrol officer, our engagement team, our senior management, management of mental health and addictions at the Care Hub itself and other shelters, it's working out really well. Doing a partnering with bylaw where we're doing a specific engagement throughout the community at shelters in partnership with bylaw, it's only going to benefit the community. When we did the strategic plan, our big key was partnerships. And we are really working hard at that, and it's starting to pay dividends. And hey, if it was easy, it'd already be done. You'll hear me say that all the time. And it's just getting that initial conduct and then that initial contact and the initial engagement and then building on it, and we'll continue to do that.
These efforts were revisited later in the meeting in depth under a report on the city's community safety and support initiative. While work remains to be done after a new strategic plan is introduced in 2027, solid groundwork is being laid, especially in partnerships and community outreach.
Happy to report there, and we're hopefully see some green dots by the time the strategic plan gets upgraded to the new one.
The full progress report is available at kingstonpolice.ca. Kingston Police say a new approach to public safety in the downtown core is showing signs of progress, but they're also clear issues can't be solved by policing alone. Launched in July 2024, the Community Safety and Support Initiative tasked two officers, Sergeant Jason Hughes and Constable Clint Wills, to work in the Community-Oriented Response and Enforcement Unit with a focused strategy to address open-air drug use and community concerns in the downtown area. Police Chief Scott Frazier presented an update report at the July 17th Kingston Police Service Board meeting.
Sergeant Hughes and Constable Wills really got to know the businesses. They went down, they started talking to people. They got to know, and having that consistent approach, understanding the people who might need some more support, understanding the community members' concern, and understanding the business owner's concern, and trying to come up with something that works. So certainly for us, we're seeing the positives of that now.
Police say a key success of the initiative has been building better relationships with partner agencies, including addictions and mental health services, bylaw enforcement, housing services, and the Integrated Care Hub.
There needs to be a concerted approach. We're starting to see that with our partnership with bylaw, with our partnership with mental health and addictions, places like the Care Hub, where we can go, hey, we might be able to divert someone from the ER to the Care Hub because the Care Hub can help them. And you, those of you who got to meet Justine understood their passion for this. And they're like, if you have someone, bring them to us. Maybe we can help. You know, we continue to share our services with Bylaw and housing services, community shelters, the Care Hub, and really taking that proactive approach, trying to address the issues before they become big issues. But we'll never get it perfect, but we're getting there.
This kind of diversion is central to what police describe as a proactive presence strategy, pairing uniformed officers with outreach workers, patrolling high-risk areas, and trying to intervene before behavior escalates to a crisis. Fraser says these efforts have had a positive impact in the downtown core.
And I can certainly say downtown, I've had people approach me to say, whatever you're doing, please keep doing it. I'm noticing something. Some people go, I can't put my finger on it, but something's changed. I don't know what it is. And, you know, we're hoping that it's, you know, maybe they haven't had to walk past a person who's been shooting up or smoking crystal meth.
According to the report, between August 2024 and June 10th, 2025, Kingston Police responded to 131 calls related to encampments across the city. During this period, officers issued 28 bylaw tickets for community standards and safe streets violations, along with 11 Liquor License and Control Act tickets, primarily for alcohol consumption in public spaces. Police also laid 36 criminal code charges and made 10 arrests related to outstanding warrants. Additionally, approximately 90 stolen grocery carts valued at around $500 each were seized and returned to retailers. While Fraser noted that there has been a positive response, some community members also expressed concerns with aspects of the approach.
You know, we've seized about $45,000 in shopping carts and returned them to the rightful owners. And I know we take a lot of flack for that from the public who drive by and say, do you have nothing better to do? And all these things. The fact of the matter is, you know, if you own a grocery store and all your shopping carts are gone, it's not good for business.
Along with these criticisms, the challenges remain stark.
We have a lot of mental health issues, and the Mental Health Act, which hasn't been changed in a long, long time, which needs to, really, you know, ties the hands of police where we can apprehend, you know, and it becomes that line of, are they a danger to themselves or anyone else, or are they just acting in a bizarre behavior that others do not recognize or appreciate? And we have to always make that evaluation. Our partnership also relies on what services are available for these people. If we talk specifically about mental health, or we talk about encampments, and if we have 60 people at an encampment and we have one bed available, the police are not, you know, we can't, where do we take the 59? You know, you can go in a community and have 30 unhoused people on week one and have 75 on week two and have 300 on week three. And we all know there's, you know, there's other agencies that drive them to Kingston and drop them off. We've caught them doing it.
As the pilot initiative continues, Fraser emphasized the limits of enforcement alone, stating that the long-term answer will have to come from upper levels of government.
It's by no means mission accomplished. There's no mic drop. This will go on for infinity until provincial and federal governments understand that the mental health crisis that's going on will not be solved by the police. We can't arrest people and lock them up forever. It just does not happen. Jail doesn't help. You know, our system is founded on deterrence, and our system is founded on rehabilitation, and the justice system has neither deterrence nor rehabilitation. So we aren't the answer, but we have to be available to certainly try and be an intermediary, intervene, stop what's happening, and then go, okay, what's our best result?
The Community Safety and Support Initiative has so far cost roughly $337,000 in officer salaries and benefits. Kingston Police say they'll continue to assess its effectiveness, and while there is no easy solution, their efforts to manage these circumstances will rely on key consistent partnerships.
Ensuring that bylaw, that the police, that our mental health partners, we're all on the same page. And I think that's what the end result is. We want to get the people who need help, we've got to get them help. You know, I think it's that continued, consistent effort is what it's going to take. There's no way that we're not going to arrest our way out of this. The city, there's no switch they can go, boom, problem solved.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is part two of our OUA Football 2025 season preview. Today we're discussing the University of Toronto Varsity Blues. Much like their black and gold contemporaries in Waterloo, Toronto has struggled in the years after the departure of their own all-conference quarterback, Clay Sequeira. Unlike Waterloo, Toronto has had recent regular season success, however, including two straight playoff berths in 21 and 22. Unfortunately, it's been a hard road for the Blues since then, with a 2-6 finish in 2023 and a 1-7 mark in 2024. Unfortunately, I feel that this is the year that the bottom falls out for the Toronto Varsity Blues. A Week 1 win over Waterloo was the high watermark for this squad, as they would drop their next 7 games to close out a disappointing season. Now, admittedly, injuries did factor into that. And the good news is that Toronto will have some key players back for 2025 with a bit more seasoning and hopefully health. Quarterback Scott Barnett was good when he played, and he's got some talented wide receivers to throw to. That should help improve a dismal offense that only scored 91 total points last season. Defensively, Toronto surrendered over 330 points. Toronto also dropped a close red-blue game to the York Lions 19-17 after failing to convert a last-second two-point try. U of T will have a shot at revenge in Week 3. Looking at their overall schedule, I feel like it could be a tough year for Toronto. I think they'll keep it close against Waterloo, York, and McMaster, but I don't see the Blues coming out victorious in any contest. Outside of the red-blue game, it's also worth checking out their Week 3 game against the Gales. This Old Four matchup has been dominated by Queens in recent years. In fact, 2025 will mark the 50th year of the winning streak. Toronto's last victory over Queens was in October 1975. I don't think this will be the season that ends the streak. I have Toronto finishing 0-8. In the 11th spot in the OUA. That's a wrap on today's OUA season preview. Tune in this coming Monday for the next part of our series as we look at the 2025 York Lions. This is the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, July 21st, beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of 24 degrees and not a lot of humidity unlike in recent weeks. July 22nd, a beautiful Tuesday, 24 degree high with sun and a bit of cloud cover into the afternoon. Wednesday, July 23rd, we are going to see a daytime high of 26 degrees with cloud coverage rolling in and the possibility of an afternoon thundershower. Thursday, July 24th, a 26-degree day. It's going to be cloudy and humid. Moving now towards the weekend. Friday, July 25th, daytime high of 27 degrees, but a high humidity factor. It's going to be a hot, sticky day here in the city of Kingston. Saturday, July 26th, mostly cloudy, but a little less humid. Still going to be a brilliant, sunny day. Perfect barbecue weather, if I do say so myself. Sunday, July 27th, daytime high of 27 degrees, feeling closer to 29, so humidity at a low, a little bit of cloud coverage into the afternoon. And then into the start of next week, Monday, July 28th, it's going to be 26 degrees, partly sunny, with the possibility of an afternoon shower. This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians on the following dates: July 20th, July 27th, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, and September 7th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. In the fall, the causeway will be fully closed September 21st, October 5th, 14th, 19th, November 2nd, and 16th from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Here are the road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Abidon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed until August 15th for the removal and replacement of a culvert. Albert Street, Princess and Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Bagot Street, Barrie to West is closed until July 23rd at 7 p.m. to accommodate pedestrian and participant safety for the Canadian Little League Championship. Brock Street, Division to Palace is closed until July 31st from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for road resurfacing. Carlton Street, Alfred de Guy is closed until August 8th for a gas main installation. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria, is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria, Princess to North Bartlett, is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Wise Street, Woodbine to Megan, is closed until July 31st to accommodate construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements.
Here are some other delays to be aware of. Accommodation Road, 6th Concession to White Church, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Abidon Road, Middle to Highway 2, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catterockway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic is down to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Garrett Road, 6th Concession to Sandhill, expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Highway 2 to Abidon and St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main sidewalks, and road. And White Church Road, 6th Concession to Woodburn, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract.
Now we'll take a look at some community events running around Kingston and the area this week. On Wednesday, Games in the Square runs from 6 to 8 p.m. Bring the kids, bring your friends, or just drop by and play Giant Connect 4, Snakes and Ladders, Chess, and more at Springer Market Square. Also totally free and open to all ages. On Thursday, there's Stories in the Square at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater. It's great for kids with stories, songs, and sunshine. If it rains, they'll move inside to the Central Library branch. Later that evening, head to Art Noise for Life Drawing from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a $10 drop-in to practice your figure drawing in a relaxed space. And at dusk, catch Robin Hood Men in Tights for Movies in the Square at Springer Market Square. Bring a lawn chair and enjoy a free summer classic under the stars. On Friday, get involved in the Downtown Bingo Challenge running July and August through to September 13th. Pick up a bingo card at participating businesses and complete activities across downtown to win prizes. Over $3,500 is up for grabs. On Saturday, the LNA Expo Freestyle Skate Contest runs 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Best and Bash Arena with a full day of ranked skateboarding and live music with FFX, Monic, and The Struggle's Over. For families and kids, Paw Patrol Live hits Slush Puppy Place with shows at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Tickets start at $53 for this action-packed stage production. For singers, at 10 a.m., there's tryouts for the Voice of the Rideau Singing Contest taking place at North Crosby Community Center. It's $20 to enter with youth, adult, and kids categories. And at 11 a.m., a chef from Mila will lead a live cooking demo in Springer Market Square. They'll prepare a dish with local ingredients, and for just $2, you can have a sample. And on Sunday, start your day with free yoga in the park from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. All you have to do is bring your mat. And Paw Patrol Live continues at Slush Puppy Place with more performances at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And if you're in the mood for classic sci-fi, head to the screening room to see the 1936 film, Things to Come. It's part of the Sci-Fi July series from the Cinema Society of Kingston, and tickets are just $10. Have a community event that you would like shared on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hi folks, it's CFRC's Ellie Sturton, and coming up are some great live music events you can catch around town this week. On Wednesday, Chris Giguere plays a laid-back folk root set at the Bank Gastro Bar from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Country star Gord Bamford brings his 25th anniversary celebration tour to the Kingston Grand Theater at 7 p.m., with Dean James opening. Tickets start at $74.70. Or swing by Springer Market Square from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the Limestone Jazz Collective in the free Swingin' Summer series. On Thursday, Kent Nicholson brings hardworking rock and roll to the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Folks can catch J.S. Miller live on the Helm's Dockside Patio from 6 to 8 p.m. with a free set of indie and acoustic rock. And Queerioki takes over Daft Brewing from 8 to 11 p.m. There's a $5 cover at the door and all voices are welcome. On Friday, Jason Kent of Young Petty Stones plays at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. with a retro rock set. Catch Maggie's Wake at the Andrew starting at 7:30 p.m. for a night of modern Celtic folk from this Canadian band. Tickets are $30. At Hotel Wolf Island, the Wolf Island Records and Friends Showcase hits the patio at 8:30 to 10:20. Expect rootsy originals and special guests. Over at Musiki Cafe, Dynasty brings hip-hop, soul, and dancehall from 8:30 to 11 p.m., joined by local artists Cacao and Dupel. Also on Friday, Rock in the Square returns downtown from 8 to 11 p.m. with a free outdoor show featuring The Hallucination and openers DJ Dina and the Chippewa Travelers. And for fans of classic hits, the world's greatest tribute to the Traveling Wilburys plays at the Kingston Grand at 7:30, and tickets are $68.83. On Saturday, Saturday Sessions light up Confederation Park from 11:30 to 3:30 p.m. with Reg Corey, the Cliff Edwards Trio, and Willy Nilly. Folk icon Garnet Rogers plays Leopard Frog Barn at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are $30 with advance reservation by email or text. And the Goodnight Irenes are live at Timeout Bar and Bistro at 3 p.m. with folk tunes, followed by Spencer Evans from 7 to 10 with jazz. You can see a high-energy show from River City Junction at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for a $10 cover. Then at 7:30 p.m., you've got choices. See Nice On and Sunshine Makers play the Broom Factory with tickets for $15. Or catch Maggie's Wake play a show at Furnace Falls Farm for $30. Folks can also head to La Vida Bistro Bar for Havana Nights with Kiri from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are $41.80 and you can come for live Cuban music and a Latin grazing board. And Empire Rock Fest takes over downtown Belleville at 6 p.m. with the renowned Arkells, Lights, and Jake Clemens, with tickets running for $65 to $99. And finally on Sunday, you can start with Jazz Brunch at the Black Dog Tavern from 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. featuring live music from Chantal Thompson and the Black Dog All-Stars. See Savannah Shea play a folk pop matinee at Musiki from 2 to 4 p.m. Or catch Rory Talon's powerful alt-folk at Something in the Water from 3 to 6 p.m. Tickets for that one are $11.98. And lastly, at Hotel Wolf Island, Bri Webb of the Constantines plays a free folk rock set from 7 to 10 p.m. Have a local concert you would like shared on air? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.